How many of you wear hearing aids in this service and never turn them on? Yeah. It's been a long time since I've heard a hearing aid squeal at Olive Baptist Church. You remember those days a few years ago when evidently the technology, well, couldn't get them right, and boy, right in the middle of the sermon, you'd always hear that thing squeal, or right in the middle of a song, somebody would get to singing a high note, and man, it's just killing you, and you're running that down, and then it kills all the rest of us, and we could hear it, and you couldn't. You remember that, you know, and people would come to me and say, man, my granddaddy's here, and said, it just embarrasses me to death, but he can't hear it thunder. You know, you just, hearing loss is a huge issue in our world, especially as our culture grows older and people live longer. Hearing loss becomes acute. I read that there are three kinds of hearing loss. The first one is what they call conductive. That's the outer ear or the middle ear. And you can do something about that, usually surgically, and be helpful. The second one has to do, though, with the inner ear. You'll see sometimes our children, it's the sensorineural type of issue, SNHL. People use that little phrase. You'll see sometimes children have those cochlear implants, that, and it's that inner ear, and they can't hear. And oftentimes seniors will have this as well, and that inner ear. And so my father has had I don't know how many pair of hearing aids. He's an amazing old cuss. He goes out the door and he puts it on. And when he walks in the door, the first thing he does, now before he even takes off his shoes, he takes that thing out and throws it in a bowl. You can scream all you want to, and he's not putting it back in. You know, there's some upside to not being able to hear. There really is. Dad will take that out, but he's the longer it goes, the worse it gets. Well, there's this conductive, then there's this inner ear with the sensorineural in it. And then the third one, they tell me, is a mixture of the two, that you can have both issues. And there's a lot of hearing loss in our world today. But I submit to you this morning, there is a fourth kind of hearing loss. And I call it spiritual. A spiritual loss of hearing, where you could hear God in days gone by, but you do not hear Him now. Most people who suffer with a physical hearing ailment could hear it one time, but they can't hear now because something has gone wrong. Spiritually, when you come to the place that you can't hear God, something has changed. And that's what I want us to look at in one of the most difficult passages of Scripture found in the entirety of the Bible. I want us to look at today. There will be people that will walk out of here in just a little bit and they'll say, Pastor, you're wrong about that text. Well, get in line. There's a lot of opinions about this text, all right? But there's a portion of it on which we will all agree. Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, and reading through the chapter break of chapter 6, through Hebrews 6 and verse 6. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Remember now, the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish believers, people that grew up in Judaism, and now they have found Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And they're struggling with this new faith and Judaism. They remain Jewish, but they've come out of their Judaism. And he's writing in Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say. Now, who is the him there? Well, he's talking about Jesus and the order of Melchizedek, the Melchizedekian doctrine of Jesus Christ, the high priest. Here the writer says, we've got much to say about him. And it's hard to explain it, since you have become dull of hearing. Let's just all read verse 11. It's on the screen in the New American Standard. Let's read it out loud together. Read it with me. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. The most important word in that verse is the word become. You have become hard of hearing. In days gone by, you could hear God, but now you have become dull of hearing. Verse number 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 1. Since all of this truth, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Stone deaf Christians. People who refuse to hear God, though they say they are Christ followers. They develop a spiritual selective hearing. I will listen to that, but oh no, not that. Well, I believe in that verse, but I'm just going to tune that one out. It's according to who you are and how you're made and what your background is, but there are certain truths when you come to the Word of God, you do like my dad. You take out your hearing aid and you throw it in a bowl. And you just simply say, I've decided to selectively not listen to that. And we have this dullness. The writer in chapter 5, verse 11 says, you have become dull of hearing. The word dull in the Greek New Testament literally means to have no push, to have no desire. It means you have become lazy or sluggish. There's no drive. There's no push. You've been sitting in church for 45 years and all of a sudden you just say, I'm tired of listening to that preacher. I'm tired of reading the Word of God. I'm tired of, do you know that the mercies of God are new every morning and he's got something just for you, whether you're 20 or 60 or 80, I'm telling you, God's got something new and fresh every day. Because he's the creative one. But when we become dull, we don't have a drive, we don't have push, and we just say, oh man, I'm not dealing with that anymore. And we just begin to float along and we become dull of hearing. Something happens. We become this. This speaks of a progress, of a regressive kind of mindset, when a believer simply stops listening to the Spirit of God. Well, two things I want to share with you this morning. First of all, I want to submit to you this truth, that stone-deaf Christians cannot hear the concerns of Jesus. They don't hear the concerns of Jesus. Jesus has some concerns. You have concerns. I have concerns. But I'm telling you, Jesus has some concerns. I went through the New Testament this week, and I remembered a little phrase, and I was amazed at the number of times I found it. And here's the phrase. You remember Jesus said this, and the writers would record these words. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And I wondered. I said, well, I wonder when the Lord said that. So I began to look. I was amazed at how many times Jesus said, he'd just be going along teaching and he'd just drop it in. He's going along teaching and then he'd just drop it in. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Five concerns I found of Jesus. Number one, Jesus has a concern for leaders. For leaders. I found this in Matthew 11 when he began to talk about John the Baptist in Matthew 11. And he talked about there's no one greater than John. And how John was a great forerunner of Christ. And how he stood for truth. And he was a prophetic, strong leader. And Jesus then just drops it in. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know Jesus is concerned about leadership? He's concerned about spiritual leaders. I want to share with you today, you ought to be an encourager of leaders. Now, I know I stand as your pastor, but I'm telling you, you ought to encourage your pastor. You ought to love the pastor, not me, but the office. And as long as I'm in it, then you ought to love me and you ought to encourage me. There's Sunday school teachers that are your spiritual leader. You ought to love them. You ought to encourage them. You ought to drop them a note in the mail. You ought to know that on Sunday morning, you don't need to bombard them with a bunch of stuff because they've got 1,000 things on their mind. They're trying to get your class ready, and you ought to encourage them. You ought to love them. They love you. They look after you. You should love them. He that has ears to hear, be concerned about spiritual leaders. Tomorrow is a national holiday in America. It's Martin Luther King Day. I don't know if you've ever, we've heard a lot of things this man said. If you've never read his letter from the jail in Birmingham, I'd challenge you tomorrow if you're off work, go online and just Google Martin Luther King, the letter from the jail in Birmingham, and read what Dr. King wrote to the churches of Birmingham. Most churches turned a deaf ear. They did not listen. They did not have ears to hear. We're all familiar with his great speech that he gave there on the steps in Washington. But one phrase that comes to mind about from Martin Luther King is this. King said, if a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. If you don't have something in your life that you found worth dying for, you're really not fit to live. I'm telling you, that's a strong prophetic word. And when you have something that you'll die for, I'm telling you, you'll live in a different way. Jesus had great concern for leaders. We ought to have concern for leaders. Anybody that steps to lead for Christ, we ought to have an encouraging word and a loving word for them. I was amazed this week. How many, I don't know why it happened. I was interviewed, but many of my friends were all across America. Local newspapers called Baptist preachers asking about Tim Tebow. It was amazing. Wall Street Journal, the Atlanta Constitution. This is over and over. About a mid-20-year-old kid. Left-handed quarterback for a 500 football team. And they asked me, they said, "Preacher, a lot of people cross themselves when they make a touchdown or when they get in the batter's box." That's still my favorite Yogi Bear deal. Somebody asked Yogi one time when a guy stepped in to hit, he crossed himself. He says, "That help him?" He said, "If he can hit, it does." I said, "Yeah, amen." A lot of people make the sign of the cross, and a lot of people point up and they say, "God." But why is this kid different? I want to tell you why he's different. This is what I said to the News Journal, and they quoted it. He doesn't talk about God. He drops the J word. He talks about Jesus being his Lord. And as I said to the News Journal, and they quoted it too, it's as old as the book of Acts, that they were found to have an offense for Christ. You ought to encourage Tim Tebow. I was amazed at the Florida State fans that they interviewed that didn't like him. Well, they didn't like him because he beat them. And then the editor, the guy that called me from the paper, he said, "Now, are you a Florida or a Florida State fan?" And I took the phone and I kind of hit it on the table. I said, "Hello, hello." I said, "This has nothing to do with my college affiliation. This has everything to do with my Jesus affiliation. Tim and I are on the same team. Because we got the same captain of our salvation." Been a long time since you've seen John 3:16 printed on the front page of the Pensacola News Journal. In the King James Version, no less. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, you usually have to open up and hunt Billy Graham over there somewhere, but I mean it's on the front page. Oh, Tim's taking a beating. He took a literal beating last night. But do you know anybody that leads for Christ? You ought to encourage them. Yes, sir. He doesn't have to be in a pulpit. What he has to do, a leader takes his platform or her platform, whatever that platform is, and they station Jesus Christ as Lord upon it. Whether it's a law office or a school desk, whether it's a pickup truck or a pulpit, they take their platform and they position Jesus and they lead. And when you find one of those, you ought to encourage them. He that has ears to hear. I love leaders. Number two, not only does Jesus have concern for leaders, he has concern for the gospel. The place that you found he that has ears to hear, let him hear, more than any other place is when Jesus gave the parable of the sower and the seed. In Matthew 13, and I believe it's Mark 4, that he gave it, and he said it twice in each of the parables. Once when he gave the parable, then once when he gave the interpretation. And both times he says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And then, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." The parable of the soils, it's about the sower. He went out and he scattered seed, and it fell on the hard ground, and it fell on the shallow ground, it fell on the thorn-infested ground, and then it fell on the good ground. It brought forth harvest, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. The gospel, he said, the seed is the gospel. And then Jesus said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus loves the gospel. And friend, you ought to love the gospel. And when it comes to Adventure Weekend, you ought to love the gospel. You ought to have concern for the gospel. And when you begin to invite people to Adventure Weekend, you're going to find people that got hard hearts and shallow hearts and weed-infested hearts. The cares of this world choke out the world. And you're going to find some people with a good heart, and they're going to walk forward, and they're going to give their heart and life unto Christ. Jesus said about the gospel, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." He has concern for leaders. He has concern for the gospel. Thirdly, he has concern for illumination. In Mark 4, verses 21 through 23, in Mark 4, 21 through 23, Jesus gave the parable, and he said, "Nobody buys a lamp to put it under a basket." My mother-in-law's just moved here, and we got her in her room, and the one thing that we couldn't get enough of in the room was light. And we had to buy more lamps because she needed more light. The light in the room was not enough for her, so she wanted more light, so we had to get lamps. So what did we do? We did it. We went and got a lamp, and then I bought a bucket and I put it over it. No, that'd be stupid. Jesus said, I'm concerned for illumination. He said, you don't buy a candle to put it under a bucket or put it under your bed. You hold it high so everybody can see. And Jesus cared for, what's illumination? It's the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth. It's let your light shine. Jesus has concern for truth, for truth, for truth, for truth. You ought to be concerned for truth. He's concerned for leaders. He's concerned for the gospel. He's concerned for illumination. Fourthly, Jesus has a concern not only for illumination, but for preservation. In Luke's gospel, chapter 14, we find it again. And Jesus does not use the light, but he uses the salt illustration. And when he says that when you have salt, and if a salt has lost its seasoning, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out on the manure pile, says the New American Standard. That is, that you make a road out of it. You just throw it out, and it's on the manure pile, and you throw it away. It's just trodden underfoot, and it's not good for anything. But you see, salt that keeps its savor preserves the culture. Did you look on the front of your worship guide today? See the picture of the baby? It's that third week in January. It's Sanctity of Life Sunday across America and Southern Baptist churches and all many other churches. Little babies. If you're a grandparent, would you stand? All my grandparents. Now, Mama and Papa, aren't you glad they didn't go to the abortion clinic? Aren't you glad? All of you represent children. Some with grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. But for all of you that are standing, there are millions, millions, since the 70s in America that have been snuffed out. You can mark this down. This nation will stand before the judgment seat of Christ for what we've done with babies. You ought to go by that table out there in the foyer today and pick up some material and see how you can get involved, because Jesus is concerned about preservation. But most of us say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to deal with that. We must deal with that. Now, let me hasten to say, I want you to hear me now. There are women in this room, supported by men in this room, that have had an abortion. Does God forgive? Yes, if you cry out to His name. He's the God of forgiveness and grace, a second and a third chance. That's the God of Calvary. Don't let me throw guilt over on you to the place where you say, oh, preacher, I'm just so... No, friend, you get free in Jesus today. You cry out unto His name. Is abortion sin? Yes, sir, it is. People then begin to want to get into this... I'm just telling you, though, when you've got life beating in your womb and you just decide that this is an aggravation to take life, innocent life. So, preacher, can God forgive me of that? He forgave Paul. He did. He forgave Moses. He'll forgive you. God is interested in truth. Never lose this truth. Life Life is precious, and we should hold it with a sanctity that would honor our Lord. Okay, Grandpa, before you fall down, sit down. Amen. Jesus has concern for leaders. He has concern for the gospel. He has concern for illumination. He has concern for preservation. But then I found he that has ears to hear one more place. Jesus also said, I have a concern for the church. The church. And I found it 8 times in Revelation. Every one of the 7 churches in Revelation, it begins with Ephesus and Laodicea and Smyrna and Pergamos and all those. Every one of those, he ends this way. He gives a message to the church. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Message to the church. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Message to the church. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. All 7 of those. And then one other text over in the 13th chapter of Revelation. He says concerning the church and concerning Israel about the old dragon coming after the people of God. Listen, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus loves leaders. Jesus loves the gospel. Jesus loves illumination of the truth. Jesus loves the preservation of the culture. Jesus loves the bride of Christ, the church. You ought to love the church. You ought to be a part of the church. You ought to love it. You ought to join it. You ought to serve it. You ought to support it. You ought to change it. You ought to challenge it. You ought to reform it. But don't ignore it. There's a mindset in our world that says, well, the church is done. I'm here to tell you the church is not done. The church will be here because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It'll be here when Jesus comes. You need to be a part of the church. Some of you are here today and you've been saved, but you're not a part of a church. I talked to some people yesterday. They said, Pastor, we've been coming for years and we've never joined, but we ought to. I said, good, tomorrow will be a great day. If you're in this service, I'm calling you out. Today will be a great day. Pastor, I know I ought to be. I'm coming to Olive. I'm giving it Olive. I eat at the trough at Olive. I'm a part. Well, just come be a part. Fellowship with us for the church. Let me say it again. Love it. Join it. Serve it. Support it. Change it. Challenge it. Reform it. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus has concern for the church. But the stone-deaf Christian cannot hear the concerns of Jesus, and they just simply say, no, no. But there's a second thing I want you to see today, very quickly. And that is that stone-deaf Christians, while they cannot hear the concerns of Jesus, stone-deaf Christians cannot hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Over in chapter 6, this is one of the hardest verses in all of the Bible. He says in chapter 6, verse 1, that we're leaving these elementary things, and then he gives 6 of them. He said, we ought to press on to maturity, not with the foundation of repentance, not with dead works of faith toward God, not of instruction about washings, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, or eternal judgment. Those 6 things. He said, well, we're going to deal with those later. We'll do this if God permits. But right now we don't, because you're not listening. You can't hear this. But then he says in verse 4, for in the case of those who have been enlightened, they've tasted the heavenly gift. They've been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. They've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Now the argument is, are these saved people or not? I believe they are saved people. I believe they're saved folks right here. He says if you've tasted and you've touched and you've been a partaker, but then you've fallen away. Here's the hard part. Boy, this is a rough verse. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance. Calvinists hate this verse because of their strong preservation of the saints, perseverance of the saints. Arminians hate this verse because it seems like there's no second chance. They've fallen away. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Pastor, what's he talking about? I think it's all in the context of chapter 5, verse 11. I think it's all about those that have become so dull of hearing they cannot hear the conviction of God. These are Jewish believers he's speaking to, and they're about to return and run back into Judaism if they don't heed the warning of the writer. Are they going back? I don't believe they went back, because he gets down to verses 9 and 10. He says, but we're convinced of better things than these things. But what's happened is their old heart has gone scared, and they're running back. What he says, if you run back to Judaism, I'm here to tell you that you're not going to come out again. He is not talking about falling from grace. This Bible does not talk about falling from grace. It preaches once saved, always saved, from Genesis to Revelation. You'll find that security of the believer is that this verse does not mean that. This verse does have to do with people that have become dull of hearing and are about to run back into a place where there's not going to be a chance for them to get right with God again. Does it mean they're going to die and go to hell? No. It means they're going to die out of fellowship with the Lord. What happens when you can't hear God? One of three things. Number one, your heart can get cold. Some people have a cold heart. You know these folks. These are people you need to be calling and encouraging. They've just gotten cold. They've just moved away. And they're just frozen. They won't laugh. They won't smile. They won't shake your hand. They're just frozen. They're so cold. Some little 12-year-old boy will walk down here this morning. That cold-hearted man will be sitting back there in the back. And he'll just be sitting there saying, well, I bet that kid doesn't know what you're talking about. They're just so cold. They'll see a young adult couple come down and say, well, I wonder if they're going to make it. See, there's no encouragement in it, because why? They're cold. What's happened? They have become dull. They're regressive in their spirit. They've gotten away from the Word. They've gotten away from fellowship. They've gotten away from any kind of passion in their life, and they're just cold. Just cold. Isolationist. But not only do we find people with a cold conscience, some people have a calloused conscience. These are folks that have just done the same thing over and over for so long, and they just see it week after week, and they come to church, they stand up, they sit down, they sing the song, sit down, stand up, walk out, write a check, come in, do this, go to the parking lot. And I guarantee these folks that have a calloused heart, if we walked in here some Sunday and Leo stood up, sang one song, and I came and read one verse, and then said, we're going to give an invitation. And if we were going to flip the service and put the invitation at the front, as soon as the invitation started, these people would walk out the door and miss the rest of church. Why is that? I'm just telling you, we get to the place. We're so regimented. Well, that's over. You know, that's done. That's not for me. And I'm out of here. Now, let me save myself some misery. There are people who have to get to work. I understand that. And I tell them, I say, sit toward the back, slip out. There are people who have things that they have to do. They have to pick up somebody. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that just have such a calloused heart. They just say about the invitation, well, that's not for me. I don't care. I've seen it a million times. He that has ears to hear, listen up. Because your heart will get calloused. And when you get calloused, you can't feel the pull of God. And you never know, friend, there may come a day when you need the pull of God in your life. Or you may have that grandbaby grow up and sit next to you one day, and finally they're 10, 11, 12 years old, and they're sitting there. Oh, that day you'll stay. You'll run with them. Unless you're so calloused, you can't even feel for your own flesh and blood. But there's a third. Not only have cold hearts, cold conscience, some of we have callous, but now the Bible speaks also of a seared conscience. Now you be very careful, but I'm here to tell you, you can get so far away from God that God sears your conscience. The judgment of God falls where you can't feel anything, you don't know anything, you don't know the conviction of God, you can't hear heaven anymore, you read the Word of God and it says nothing to, and your heart is like stone. You have become stone deaf to the things of God. It's a sad day to walk through life with a seared conscience. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when you hear, you're to do. Somebody sits right here in this room today, and you've heard the gospel, and you know you're outside of the realm of grace. And God says, I'm going to love you, and I've died for you, and if you'll come today, I'll save you. God will save you today. You ought to come. Some of you have heard about the church today, and you ought to come be a part of this church and link your life with it. You've heard. You respond. That's the thing to do, is you respond. Some of you have heard about the abortion issue today. You say, I've got to do something, and you're going to go write a congressman. You're going to stop by that table. You're going to encourage somebody. You're going to get involved. Amen. I don't know what God's spoken to your heart today, but whatever He said, it's time now to respond to God's call in your life. Now I want to finish right here. One time in my life, I got scared about not being able to hear God. I was a seminary student. And I went to Dr. Roy Fish's office, and I said, Dr. Fish, I'm having a hard time. I said, I read the word, I'm praying, I can't get nothing. I said, it's like God just left me alone. He said, son, there are days when heaven becomes like brass and the scriptures become stone and God leaves you all by yourself just to see if you will trust Him when you can't hear anything. I said, how long does that last? He said, I don't know. I'm not the author. He said, but I'll promise you this. If you will continue to cry unto Him, there will come a breakthrough in heaven, the Word, and your heart. And He wasn't wrong. When you persist, you stay with Jesus, He promises He never leaves you and He never forsakes you. It's when you turn and walk off and He'll let you go and say, you can be go by yourself. But if you say, Lord, I want you and I'm not leaving. You got to be like old Jacob. You remember when he wrestled with the angel and he thought it was a demon? You ever wrestle with demons? You think they're demons and they're really angels? See, sometimes in the wrestling and the persistence comes the breakthrough. Jacob woke up saying, my Lord, there's a ladder to heaven in this joint. He had hung on and he found his way into glory. Keep listening. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say. If you've heard from Him today, come responding. A whole family, you, a couple, come. This is your day to say yes, Lord, yes.